How about this? They call me Dr. John. Dr. John Cooper Clark, that is, and you're listening to James Shakeshaft on vinyl. Some or other. About this, they call me Dr. John. Dr. John Cooper Clark, that is, and you're listening to James Shakeshaft on vinyl. Some or other.
Good evening, and welcome to episode 5 of the Vinyl Revival with me, James Shakeshaft. I'm going to be with you till 12 o'clock. And this is LSRFM. And that there was the Beastie Boys with Fight For Your Right. On this crisp autumnal evening in the middle of November, I welcome you in once more for an evening with myself. On today's show, we're going to be listening to some records from a mixtape that has been circulating these past few weeks. And that mixtape was created by a 21-year-old Kurt Cobain. It's rather odd. We'll also have some music from Bob Dylan and Fleetwood Mac discussing their newly announced UK tour dates for 2015, including their stop in Leeds on June 30th and the newly released basement tapes of Bob Dylan, which were released on Sony this week. It's all very exciting. As well as all this, I will be playing an interview that I did with the legendary Andy Kershaw this week as he revisited the refectory here at Leeds University, where he arranged a string of unforgettable concerts with bands such as the Rolling Stones, the Clash, Elvis Costello, and of course, the famous The Who. And as well as that, we must be selecting a Charity Shop 7-inch of the week, and this week it's a cracking 80s classic, and also adding another LP into our virtual collection. Last week's was Neil Young's After the Gold Rush, corresponding to the release of his new album, Storytone, and of course, we'll be doing all that and everything that you wish to add in between. Do let me know and don't hesitate to get in touch. I am, of course, James Shakeshaft, and this is, of course, The Vinyl Revival, and this is, of course, Blondie with Denise. You just heard Denise by Blondie from the album Plastic Letters. That was a single, that was. And I am James Shakeshaft, and this is The Vinyl Revival. And that song is a 1963 song by the American doo-wop group Randy and the Rainbows, covered there beautifully by Blondie. And the initial Blondie version contained a verse with partly improvised lyrics in French. By the vocalist Debbie Harry, of course. And the label insisted that the band re-record the song with a grammatically correct French translation, but punk being punk, they decided against it. That is, of course, until they went to re-release it. Which reminds me, one time very soon, I am going to do a Vinyl Revival show entirely on French music. But that's in the future, and there's no point in living in the future. We may as well, live in the present. The present. Now, as I mentioned before, I'm going to be looking at a mixtape made by a 21-year-old Kurt Cobain, a man that we all miss very dearly. And it consists of some very, very odd records, to say the least. Now I'm going to be playing a couple that I've handpicked for you. And it's a seemingly regular set of records, however, combined in this manner, it creates some sort of dark, twisted Da Vinci Code entrance into Kurt Cobain's mind and soul.
Revival.
and the mixtape engulfs you from the get-go with the record that I'm going to play next for you, and it contains a large number of songs by the Beatles, which links to Kurt's love of pop music, and specifically the Liverpool Rockers. And I've never heard such a wide variety of choices in a mixtape such as this, going from the Beatles to Black Sabbath, Butthole Surfers to the Flintstones, the Star Wars. And as well as this, it's integrated with dialogue taken from Jimi Hendrix, Paul Stanley of Kiss, and excerpts of Stanley Johnson screaming about Satan. And obviously I don't have enough time to play you all songs on the mixtape, so I advise you go onto the Tinterweb and check it out for yourself. It's a masterpiece. In total, there are 40 different records that contribute to this audio terror. And the song that I've chosen to play you first from that is by Mike Douglas, and it's called The Men in My Little Girl's Life, a seemingly innocent record, but the idea of a troubled Kurt Cobain playing this and listening to this song, there seems to be something very sinister about the matter. There's no point in me nattering on about it. Hear it for yourself. This is The Men in My Little Girl's Life by Mike Douglas, and we are touching on the newly found mixtape made by a 21-year-old Kurt Cobain here on the Vinyl Revival.
A man in my little girl's life. The man in my little girl's life. It seems like only yesterday, and I can hear my little girl say,
Daddy, there's a boy outside. His name is Rod. He wants to play in our backyard. Can he, Daddy? Can he, Daddy? Oh, please, Daddy.
Was it really so long ago that she'd come to me and she'd want to know, Dad?
There's a boy outside. His name is Lee. He wants to carry my books for me. Can he, Daddy? Is it all right, Dad? He's got freckles, Dad.
The man in my little girl's life. The man in my little girl's life.
Then came ponytails and jeans, and my little girl was in her teens. Popsy, there's a boy outside. His name is Tom. He wants to take me to the prom. Okay, Popsy?
He's cute, Popsy. We'll be home early, Popsy.
Before I knew it, time had flown, and how my little girl had grown. Now it was father. There's a boy outside. His name is Eddie. He wants to know if we can go steady. Can we, Father? Yes, Father? Oh, can we borrow the car, Pop? Yes, it seems like only yesterday I heard my lovely daughter say, Dad, there's a boy outside. His name is Jim. He asked me if I'd marry him. I said, yes, Dad. Got something in your eye, Dad? I love him, Dad. The man in my little girl's life. The man in my little girl's life.
A child, an adolescent, a young lady, a wife. And oh yes, there's another man in my little girl's life. Hi, Dad. There's a boy outside. His name is Tim. I told him Grandpa was gonna babysit with him.
Thanks, Dad.
Bless you, Dad.
Good night, Dad. The man in my little girl's life. The man in my little girl's life.
beautiful song by Mike Douglas, The Men in My Little Girl's Life. However, that is what opens the mixtape made by Kurt Cobain. And like I said before, in that context, it's rather sinister. I am James Shakeshaft, and we've still got so much more to come on episode 5 of The Vinyl Revival. Like I said, I'm going to be playing an interview that I did with Andy Kershaw, as well as this we'll have music from Mamas and Papas, Fleetwood Mac, Bob Dylan, and we'll also be adding an LP into our virtual collection. Don't hesitate to get in touch. And there's a lot of different areas of music on this mixtape that are covered, which I mentioned previously. And the next one I'm going to play is a similar vein in that it's a big band song, and this time by Sammy Davis Jr. And the name of the song is The Candyman. And at the time that Kurt Cobain was making this sort of collection of music, he was going through some very dark periods, whether that be through depression or with his drug abuse, but both of those things kind of went hand in hand. It's a very, very odd amalgamation of things that has been, everyone's been talking about it. I mean, Rolling Stone, DIY, Pitchfork, NME, you can get it anywhere online, so check out the thing in full. This next song, The Candyman, is a song which was originally written for the film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It was written specifically for the film, although Sammy Davis Jr. has done this version of it, which is probably the most famous now in terms of record sales. It was released in 1972 on 7-inch vinyl. The B-side being I Want to Be Happy. And going back to Kurt Cobain, he was renowned for making compilations of all sorts of art, whether that be odd commercials that he recorded on the TV or bits of audio from radio presenters, all odds and sods. And a lot of these will have been lost. But this next song's absolutely fantastic, and there was a version of it done on The Simpsons, if anyone's a Simpsons fan out there, which is, it's the episode in which Bono and the rest of U2 are in it. It's all about environmental safety and health. And we do a version of this, and it's very, very entertaining. And this is a magical song to me. Again, it's In similarities compared to the last song that I played, it's very much a childish song. The wonders of being a child and the innocence of it. Soon, very soon, growing up. And Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is a magical film, and this song reiterates that in its entirety. This is The Candyman by Sammy Davis Jr.
Chocolate, malted candy, gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man because I'm the candy man. Ooh. Who can take a sunrise? Sprinkle it with you. Cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two. The candy man. Ooh, the candy man can.
The candy man can.
The candy man can, 'cause he makes with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Who can take a rainbow?
Who can take a rainbow?
Wrap it in a sigh.
Wrap it in a sigh.
Soak it in the sun and make a groovy lemon pie. The candy man.
The candy man.
The candy man can.
The candy man can.
The candy man can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. With love and makes the world taste good.
Candyman makes everything he makes satisfying and delicious.
Candyman. The Candyman can.
The Candyman can.
The Candyman can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. Yes, the Candyman can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
That was Sammy Davis Jr.'s brilliant version of Candyman. And again, the reason I play that is because it is included in Kurt Cobain's mixtape that has been recently found this week. And both those songs, Innocent and Aimed at Childhood, and I mean, Kurt Cobain had a distressed childhood to say the least, so maybe that was referring to that period of his life. It's all very dark, but we'll soon to see the light at the end of the tunnel as we're dragged into the final stages of Episode 5. Maybe it is some of these records that are responsible for a lot of Kurt Cobain's work. A true artist who plucked elements of music from the farthest corners of the cosmos. He created his own unique sound delivery and image that still echoes on today, and it only seems right to put a full stop to this topic with a record from him that I love, and I'm sure a lot of you love too. Let me know how you're getting on, let me know if it's a cruddy Monday or a happy Monday. I don't bite. So to put a full stop to this topic, I'm going to play a song by Nirvana called Penny Royalty, and this song was on their album In Utero. An underrated album, to say the least. And this was actually a single from it. It was released in 1994. And the name of the song that I've chosen is Penny Royalty. So whilst we listen to this, let's see if we can hear where it all comes from those last two records. This is by Nirvana, and this is called Penny Royalty. This is going to rattle your bones a little bit so late on an evening. Nothing that a bit of super glue can't fix. I apologise if there's anyone with delicate ears out there, but this is Nirvana putting a full stop to our touchdown on his mixtape that was recently found that he made when he was 21. Check it out online, because I don't have time to play the full thing, but I have got time to play this. This is Nirvana with Penny Royalty. I'm James Shakeshaft. Stick around for another 40 minutes.
I'm on my time with everyone. Yeah.
That was Penny Royalty by Nirvana. Thank you, Tokyo Steve and Sophie, for listening.
How about this?
They call me Dr. John.
Dr. John Cooper Clark, that is, and you're listening to James Shakeshaft on vinyl. Some other.
Still coming up on the show tonight. We've got exciting news from Bob Dylan and Fleetwood Mac. We've also got money. I wish I had money. We've also got music from Mamas and Papas. And I tell you what, if I was getting money off them, I'd be loaded. I wouldn't be sat here. But as of now, it's time to add another 7-inch of the week into our collection. That is a charity shop 7-inch, in case I didn't stress that point enough. I'm really looking forward to playing this one out tonight. Originally a Billy Bragg tune, but the version I'm going to play is covered by Kirsty MacColl. The song's called A New England. And it's taken from his album Life's a Riot with a Spy vs. Spy, released in 1983. And it became a hit single when covered by Kirsty MacColl the next year. And Kirsty MacColl recorded the song the year after its release by Bragg and produced by her then-husband Steve Lillywhite. It was her biggest solo record, reaching number 7 in the UK singles chart and number 8 in the Irish singles chart, in case you needed a bit of information about that. Another musician that had a very premature death, unfortunately, in the year 2000, hit by a speedboat. And Bragg's original version of the song had only 2 verses, and MacColl thought the song was too short, so she added some verses, and now Bragg, when he performs the song, puts those verses in to pay tribute to her early death. And I mean, if you don't like pop, you'll hate this, but I mean, it's just one of those records, isn't it, from the 80s, and it's got that production value. It's just a fantastic, fantastic song. Sounds like it could almost be a Smiths record. It's got very much Johnny Marr-like guitar licks in there. And I picked this up from a charity shop in Roundhay, yet again where I'm based. But don't hesitate to get in touch if you've had any good finds in the old charity shop bins recently. Let me know and I'll play it out on the show on a following week. The time now is 30 minutes past 11, which means we've got another 30 minutes to go. But for now, this is the charity shop 7-inch of the week here on the Vinyl Revival. This is Kirsty MacColl with her version of Billy Bragg's A New England, a cracking 1980s hit. Enjoy.
I love you. This is Sam Doors of the Dez Lawns, and you're listening to James Shakeshift.
That's right, it's James Shakeshift again. I always manage to pull that advert out in at least one point in the show for a bit of comical value. I am, of course, James Shakeshaft. This is episode 5 of the Vinyl Revival on this rather nice... I mean, I can't complain about this evening. Can you? Can you? You. And it's been a very fun show for me so far. I've enjoyed all the topics we've touched down on, and I hope you have too. But this next one excites me very much. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I had the pleasure of meeting none other than Mr. Andy Kershaw when he came here to do a talk at Leeds Refectory, where he so famously worked arranging gigs with some unforgettable bands. I already mentioned The Clash, Elvis Costello, Iggy Pop, The Rolling Stones, The Who, Bob Marley and the Wailers, Black Uhuru. The list is genuinely longer than my brain can think. About one topic, that is. And he was kind enough to spare a few words for me about his experience coming back to Leeds Refectory after such a while. The talk was fantastic. It was informing, it was inspiring, educating, and it was great. He talks about his entire career, whether that was his time at Radio 1 working with John Walters and John Peel, the two Johns. What better teachers to have to get into the radio industry? I wish we had people like that to look up to now. May they rest in peace. I tell you what, if it wasn't for people like the two Johns, I wouldn't be sat in this seat now, I tell you that for free. He also spoke about, obviously, his time working here at the university and how that built a foundation for his broadcasting and journalistic career. And as well as that, he then spoke a bit about travel, about going to North Korea and all the countries he's been to. A very hard-working and deserving man of the title that he holds so proudly today. And I feel like a third member of the Kershaw family, having interviewed his sister Liz a couple of weeks ago. Who, may I just add, they look the same. Nor does one look female or the other look male, just to stress that point. Now, the most famous, the most well-known, the most listened-to live album of all time is The Who Live at Leeds, and believe me if you want, but it was taken and recorded just underneath my feet in the refectory. So I've decided to play a song from that recording, and they actually came back and did an anniversary show a few years ago. And I was fortunate enough to see The Who a few years back at Harewood House, and they put on a fantastic performance still, and they're due to come back around and do some tour dates in 2015. They're also coming to Leeds, and I'll tell you what, we're going to be talking a bit more about tour dates later on in the episode. Now, this recording was on the 16th of May in 1970, just below me, but before we hear the song, we're going to hear the chat I had with Andy. It was very kind of him to do this for me, and I tell you what, I do appreciate it. So this is me talk with Andy Kershaw the other night, and afterwards you're going to hear a song by The Who, and the name of that song is Substitute, taken from their Live at Leeds album. I'm James Shakeshaft, and there's 20 minutes to go. Don't hold your breath.
I'm James Shakeshaft. I'm stood here with... I feel very privileged to be stood here with the wonderful Andy Kershaw after he's just done a fantastic talk back here at the historical Leeds Refectory. And it's been quite a while since you've been back here. What was it sort of like to be back in these halls discussing what's been before? With obviously there was a mixture of audience members. There was people from the radio station, people studying here, and obviously people that were a part of it with you.
Oh yeah, there's a good mixture, all ages as well. Well, first of all, it's not that long since I was back here. You know, I've still got quite a close relationship with the Students' Union, Leeds University Union, and I do find myself back in the dear old refect quite a bit. But, yes, to come back as a performer was very special and a very emotional occasion for me.
I can imagine.
In that, you know, if you'd said to me, back then, when I was putting on all the concerts, running all the concerts and booking all the bands in the early 80s, that one day you'd come back and perform yourself in the refect. Mm. And I said, you must be bloody mad.
Yeah.
But now I've come back, and when the union invited me to come and do the one-man show as part of the 75th anniversary celebrations, I said, even though it's a ridiculous place to put me in one sense. You know, it's immodest and it's far too big for me to perform in the refectory. Nevertheless, of all the venues around the Students' Union and the university that you could put me in, this is the only one I really want to do.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Because of what we did here all those years ago, and now it's celebrated and on these boards, you can see what we were up to instead of going to our lectures and tutorials. Mm. And to come back here and perform in the refect meant the world to me. And I'm very grateful to the union and to Rebecca Smith in particular for having me back here.
Fantastic. And Andy, how do you think that working for Leeds the Leeds University, how do you think working here built a foundation for your career in broadcasting and journalism?
Everything flowed from this, because just following my passions for live music, and that led me to work with Billy Bragg. And through working with Billy, I then fell accidentally into broadcasting, first of all presenting the Whistle Test on BBC Two, the rock music programme back then. And then, because I've been on there only a couple of months, actually, I then accidentally, without any intention of becoming one, became a Radio 1 DJ as well. So, really, everything's flowed from that moment. When I walked in here on my first day at Leeds University in October 1978 and went up to the desk of the then Ent Secretary, Steve Henderson, and said, "Excuse me, please, please can I have your job when you've finished?"
Yeah, that blunt approach.
Well, it wasn't blunt, because I was scared and I was very nervous and I had no self-confidence until I arrived at Leeds University. And I was very shy. And what I did that day was almost inexplicable, because it was so atypical and uncharacteristic. But as though there was a greater force at work, something made me do it. And very early into my second year here, I was doing that job. I was booking all the bands and running all the gigs. And everything really, James, has flowed from that since.
This
place is it's so important to me. As I said at the end of my talk tonight, you know, the truth is I've never really left here. And I never really will. This is my spiritual home, Leeds University Union and the dear old Refect.
That was The Who with their performance from Live at Leeds with their song Substitute, an electric performance. Now, drawing us into the final 15 minutes of the show, we've still got a lot to get through, so we better get started. This week, the official basement tapes by Bob Dylan in their entirety have been released on Sony for your purchase. And for those of you who don't know what the basement tapes are, they're a collection of recordings that Bob Dylan recorded with a group of musicians known as The Band. and they were recorded in a house called Big Pink, and her fans and critics have always been fascinated with these recordings. They were produced in Dylan's property in Woodstock, New York, whilst he was recovering from a serious motorcycle accident which threatened his life and career. And these recordings marked a new direction for Dylan's creative angle. Until last week, when Sony released the Basement tapes in their entirety, only snippets and bootlegs could be found of the material. And the package contains 138 songs and a book. So having been a city boy and very much in the public eye for years, retreating 90 miles north of Manhattan certainly brought a new level of relaxation into his approach to writing. Writing, recording and non-stop. Non-stop. There were no boundaries. They recorded whatever they wanted, whether that was songs Dylan was working on at the time or renditions of classic folk records. This period really was crucial to his career, and almost 50 years later, he has decided to share it with us. So now, let's hear a song from these tapes, and the song I have chosen to play for you is called It Up, Better Have It All. Dress It Up, Better Have It All, I do apologise. This is Bob Dylan taken from his brand new Basement tapes.
Dr. John Cooper Clark, that is, and you're listening to James Shakeshaft on vinyl.
Taken from the newly released Basement tapes, you just heard there Bob Dylan. The time now is 12 minutes until the hour, which means it's time for me to tuck you into your beddy byes before I send you off into a night of sleepless dreams. This has been episode 5 and a very enjoyable one, to say the least. And be sure to tune in next week, actually, because I'm not going to be here. It's going to be a pre-recorded show, and it's going to be about the roots of Jack White. And the reason I do that as my theme is because I'm actually going to be at the Leeds Arena seeing him there. So be sure to tune in still. Although I'm not here, I will be here in a fifth dimension. And so I said a dynamic that organically came about in my show was breaking it up at this point with a record that bridges the vinyl revival into the final departure of the episode, and it's one that I have, I'm going to continue. It's a lovely way to draw us towards the end of the show, and this week I've chosen to play a song from Mamas and the Papas, and Rolling Stone rated this at 89 in the greatest songs of all time. That rhymes, but I tell you what, I'd be tempted to push it even further, and I may even put it in the top 50. Written by John and Michelle Phillips, we share their vision on this cold Monday, we really do. The song was released on Western Records in 1965 by the band, and I tell you what, it's been a hit ever since, and I tell you why we share the vision of them on this cold Monday. We're all longing for warmth and comfort, and I tell you what, we're all California dreaming. And afterwards, I have some very exciting news, so be sure to stick around. Mamas and the Papas, California Dreaming. Mamas and the Papas there, that surely did warm the cockles, didn't it? I'm James Shakeshaft, this has been episode 5 of the Vinyl Revival. And that was Mamas and the Papas with California Dreaming. Could it really be anything else? That is, some of the harmonies in that song are some of the most powerful I've ever heard. Now, you might have noticed a slight upping in the gear in my old vocal chamber, and that's because I'm excited. You may not be able to tell, but my blood is fizzing. So, After performing a few scattered shows across the world over the past 2 years, Fleetwood Mac have announced more UK shows to take place in 2015, and I'm sure you're all sitting on the edge of your seats. I am, and I know what's coming, but I better be careful because it's a swivel seat, baby. So, they've also confirmed to be performing their shows with Christy McVie in the lineup, which I don't think anybody expected. And Mick Fleetwood has also stressed the point that the band will not, I repeat, will not be playing at Glastonbury this year. Well, not this year, next year. Not that they have anything against the festival, I must stress, and I'm eager to see them. If they were ever to officially break up, though, I have a number of tribute acts to fill their boots. Would you like to hear them? Seem as though I haven't heard from you. I think you do. So if Fleetwood Mac were ever to truly depart, we've got Fleetwood Back, Fleetwood Tack, Meatwood Flack, in which all the releases would be solely on Flack format only. Anyway, back to the serious news. To prevent you falling off the seats, off your seats, you better grab a handle if you can. They are, in fact, coming here to Leeds on June 30th to the first Direct Arena, and I tell you what, I'm going to be there front row centre. Tickets will be pricey because I tell you what, they like the millionaire lifestyle, and they want to maintain that until they reach their graves. So I only felt it right to play a song by them, and I'm going to play the song Say That You Love Me. And this is a Christy McVie song, actually, and the B-side to this single was Monday Morning, released June 1960. No, it wasn't. 1976. And it's a brilliant Fleetwood Mac tune, and I tell you what, most of my favourite Fleetwood Mac songs are actually by Christy McVie, so I'm blessed that she's going to be on the tour. I'm going to be tapping away at my computer screen on Friday morning trying to get a ticket first thing, and I tell you what, if you don't get there, you're stupid. I'm James Shakeshaft, and this is Fleetwood Mac. They're back. Bit of 70s rock. Fleetwood Mac with Save It You Love Me. They're coming back to our shores, so you better be there or you better be square.
How about this? They call me Dr. John. Dr. John Cooper Clark, that is, and you're listening to James Shakeshaft on vinyl. Some other.
It's now time for me to bid you farewell and good night. But not before we've added another LP into our virtual collection this week. It's an odd one, it really is. It's by Los Angeles Negros, and the English for that is the Black Angels. They're a Chilean-Mexican pop band formed in San Carlos de Chile in 1968. And I know what you're thinking, James has lost the plot here, he's gone bananas. And this band have actually been sampled by many musicians, including the Beastie Boys, who you heard opening the show at the beginning. And the reason that I draw episode 5 of the Vinyl Revival to an end with this record is because when I used to work at Leeds's cellar bar on New Brigitte, when the clock hand finally reached 3 a.m. after it had been seemingly stuck for an eternity, and when you heard the magic roundabout style organ intro play, your heart jumped for joy and the bar immediately evacuated, and it did that because you knew it was the end of the night. So I'm going to play it for you now, signifying that exact thing. This is going into our virtual LP collection. Be sure to tune in next week, even though I won't be here. It'll be a great show. I'm very positive about it. Enjoy the rest of your night. Stay safe. Tatty bye.
Una vez un gran rey que tenía muchas tierras, un castillo y también un amor. Pero los caprichos de ese amor, con el tiempo sin castillo y sin tierras lo dejó. Hoy el rey no puede ser feliz porque no tiene ni castillo ni amor. Hoy el rey no puede ser feliz porque no tiene ya su amor. Yo también contigo fui feliz, mi amor y mi dinero te di. Yo hoy pobre y solo yo. No puede ser feliz porque no tiene ni castillo ni amor. Hoy el rey no puede ser feliz porque no tiene ya su amor. ¡Hey! Hubo una vez un gran rey que tenía muchas tierras, un castillo y también un amor. Pero los caprichos de ese amor, con el tiempo sin castillo y sin tierras lo dejó. Hoy el rey no puede ser feliz porque no tiene ni castillo ni amor. Hoy el rey no puede ser feliz porque no tiene ya su amor. Yo también contigo fui feliz, mi amor y mi dinero te di. Yo hoy pobre y solo lloro por ti. Hoy el rey no puede ser feliz porque no tiene ni castillo ni amor. Hoy el rey no puede ser feliz porque no tiene ya su amor. Oye, el rey, no puede ser feliz porque no tiene ni castillo ni amor.